Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 27, with the author of Southpaw, a tale about a girl's imagination. Her name is Stephanie Lee.
Hi, this is Denise Alexander Pyle. I'm the author of The Power of 10, a guide to living the 10 commandments and the golden rule in modern times. You're on the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, who is helping you implement the 10 commandments and the golden rule to help you find your promised life.
Life isn't about how I look physically. You know, I can be, you know, funny and attractive and all these things, and it's not really about my arm. It's really about other things. I have so much more to offer than just that one thing.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello, my good friend, and welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller. So glad to have you with me today on this beautiful summer day in the year 2018. And we are going to talk today a little bit about the fun topics of guilt and blame and shame and the cycle we go through sometimes and how that impacts our lives and how we can make some decisions in our lives that impact how we deal with the cycle of blame and shame and the game that we play there about that guilt and how we can deal with that. We're going to have a great guest with us today, Stephanie Lee. She's written a book where she talks about some decisions that she made to overcome and deal with some adversity in her life. And we're going to have a great conversation with her. The Pathway to Promise, we're all here for you, my friend. We're all here for you. We're here to help people a lot like you and me to overcome adversity in your life and find your God-given life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. And we just believe that God has that plan for you. God has a planned great life, a promised life for you that is going to be meaningful, not meaningless. We're here for you. If you like what you hear here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, we always appreciate your help and your assistance by going over to iTunes and subscribing to the podcast and giving us a rating and a review. That's so helpful to help other folks find us and, of course, connect up with other folks in your network. You can also connect up over on our website, pathwaypromise.com. There you can find a back catalog of all of our episodes, including the first 5 episodes, which will lay out the 40-day way process to help you move from a life of meaninglessness to a life of meaningfulness in just 40 days. And we also have a resource there for you, which is a little booklet. It's basically the first chapter of the book I'm writing called The 40-Day Way, and it has to do with how you can frame your day for success in 4 minutes a day. 4 minutes in the morning, 4 minutes in the evening can set your intention, set your days for success. Today, talk about guilt and blame and shame. When bad things happen to us, and they always do, we have choices that we can make, and we can have patterns of either constructiveness or destructiveness, how we respond to these. And they can lead us to a pathway of anger and destructiveness, or they can lead us into a path of progress and purpose and meaningfulness if we choose to. How we handle it does make all the difference. There was a study done that showed the relationship of shame and proneness of shame proneness and guilt proneness to constructive versus destructive responses to anger was such that shame proneness was clearly related to maladaptive responses to anger. That is when people were destructive to other people and they had aggression that was displaced and they were hostile, they were bullies. And in contrast, guilt proneness was associated with constructive means of handling anger. That includes being correcting our actions, being non-hostile, non-defensive in our nature, and not targeting others. So what can we learn from that? It means that when bad things happen to us, it is not about beating ourselves up. It is about taking responsibility. It's also not about ascribing the blame onto someone else. It's about being responsible to ourselves. There are appropriate levels of guilt. The appropriate levels of guilt that help us then to change our behavior. And when that is done, that is a thing that is can be a positive nature. And there's appropriate levels of shame, which is a certain things that we should be embarrassed about, that can, but to approach them and respond in anger is not going to be healthy either. The idea here, friends, is be impacted appropriately by shame and guilt in such a way that we can move our responses in a positive manner. That's what I want to encourage you to do and to take action for yourself 100%. A big part of what I want to teach you today has to do with being responsible. Being responsible 100% of the time for your actions. There's a couple lessons from the Bible that I think are really pertinent here and they might be helpful to you. Matthew 9 has several stories, right? Bang, 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 right in a row, where Jesus made some impact on some people. There's a story right at the beginning of the chapter where he forgives and heals a paralyzed man. And it says that there that about the positive thoughts that the man had, that he believed in Jesus, and Jesus said to get up, take up your mat and walk. And he did that. He said, your sins are forgiven. Then he calls this guy named Matthew to be his follower. Matthew was a tax collector, and a lot of people hated him for all the ways he took advantage of others. But Jesus went to his house and sowed some confidence in him, and Matthew said he believed in him, and he called him to be his follower. And there's also the story about the woman who had an issue of blood. She had bleeding, which was meant she was unclean. She said she believed in Jesus. She touched his garment, and she was healed. There's a story about a Jesus raising a dead girl and healing a sick woman who believed in Jesus first, and then healing took place. In the same chapter, Matthew 9, it talks about Jesus healing a blind man and a mute man, all of who place faith and belief first, then good things happened. What I want to share with you, friends, is that has to do with the inner life is the key to how we have productivity and peace and prosperity in the outer life. It's an inner journey first. It's a spiritual journey. That's much the story of our guest today, Stephanie Lee. She had some bad things happen in her life. She was a thalidomide baby. A thalidomide baby means that she was a person whose mother took a drug when she was pregnant with her that was designed to combat nausea. But unfortunately, there was some terrible, terrible side effects, including birth defects, and including in the case with Stephanie, when she was just a small child, she had a massive stroke, which meant that she basically lost for pretty much her whole life, has not had the use of her right side, and it has impacted a lot of things in her life. So she's had a relationship with her own parents that had images of guilt and shame and blame. They're all in there, and that she had to deal with that in one way or another. And she had some episodes in her life where she faced bullying and school and things like that because of her appearance, because of the way that this stroke had impacted her life, making basically her right side more or less useless. One of the ways, but for Stephanie, she came to a point when she felt like she had to make a change. And it ended up, she wrote a book, and she started a podcast where she could start to process what was going on in her inner life. Her podcast is called Talk Tales and Trivia, and her book is Southpaw, A Tale About a Girl's Imagination. And her story is one about this is her fictional tale, which has lots of parallels in her own life, about how Stephanie overcome the adversity in her life of dealing with some really painful moments, and not only in her disability or her physical circumstances, but in relationships and so on, and how when she chose to go to the inner life, it impacted her outer life. And she talks about how starting a podcast, writing a book, were all key factors in turning her life around. We're going to talk to her today at some length about her story. I think you're going to enjoy it. So let's get into the interview with Stephanie Lee, author of Southpaw, right now. Welcome back to Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, where we are all about helping you overcome adversity in life, in order to achieve success or the promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. And our guest today has done just that. Her name is Stephanie Lee, and she is the author of Southpaw, A Tale About a Girl's Imagination, and she has also published the Talk, Tales, and Trivia podcast and has been a public speaker at Podcast Movement. Stephanie, welcome to Pathway to Promise.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is awesome to have you.
I really appreciate it.
It is awesome to have you here, Stephanie, on the podcast today. And what we like to talk about here is people who have had some success in life by overcoming some adversity in their life or some situation, and shared a little bit about how you are a published author and a public speaker and a podcaster. But tell me a little bit about, I know part of this process has been you working out a process of overcoming some challenges and adversities in your life. Just tell us your story a little bit about what your situation and what you've done to overcome it.
Well, my situation started when I was quite young, and I became a thalidomide baby. And that's, if you don't know, it's a medicine that parents take to combat nausea when they are pregnant. So I had the stroke when I was a baby because of medicine that my mother took, and it created my not being able to use my right side of my body like everybody else. It actually looks like a stroke, and I've had to really go through my whole life with that being an issue for me. It wasn't so much of an issue for me growing up because I had friends and, you know, all that good stuff. I worked, I had boyfriends and other things. But I still had the underlying issue that created a little turmoil for me. It really was something that I could never talk to my parents about. It's interesting because you have a certain disability, and there was like this pink elephant in the room that nobody really wanted to talk about. And I still really haven't sat down with my mother and father and had that big talk of what really happened because of their guilt. They feel tremendous guilt. And I have since gone online, and I've discovered that a lot of the thalidomide babies haven't talked to their parents about it because of the guilt. The parents really feel terribly guilty. The children go through life and just do their best and make it through life, you know, with that.
A lot of unresolved matters, though, in that.
Unresolved.
So
yes.
That's not only the physical aspects of what you've dealt with and whatever ramifications have come from your mm-hmm. physical situation, but also that emotional, that family dynamic type of thing. And
That's right.
Sounds like it's also had some impact in your adult life as well and how you handle things now.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You know, I always had friends in school. I always had boyfriends. Everything was a perfectly normal life. And then, thank goodness, nobody had ever made fun of me or asked me what went on. I was really I lived quite a normal life. My parents are wonderful people. They just didn't really want to talk about what happened to me. It's quite interesting. I never even thought about asking them.
Is that something you thought about? Now, though, it's not like you did not growing
no.
up. But really? Okay.
No. You know, it's something that I just...
You just understood.
No one said, yes, it's so odd. And even to this day, I still feel some kind of parents really are better off not telling me, not talking about it, because it's going to hurt them. And I know there is hurt there because, see, you know, parents that just are racked with guilt when they, you know, ignore things and stuff. And I want to be compassionate. I want to be an understanding person. Yet there's a part of me that wants to know what happened. But there's a part of me that says, well, if I knew, would that be any better? Would that make life better? I mean, I'd still be, you know, the same person outwardly. I've changed my thought about that. I've changed my thoughts about it. And I don't mind talking to people about it, but do you know that nobody asks me, even to this day, nobody has stopped and said, what really happened to you? What happened? Which I'm definitely blessed, because I feel that I don't have an answer for it. Like, I really...
been a part of your life all along here. The dynamic you mentioned there about needing to know, or wanting and not needing to know all the whole story from your parents, sounds similar to some of the folks I've worked with adoption situations, yeah. Where some, you know, people who've been adopted, some kids when they get to adulthood who were adopted, some, you know, really, really want to know really badly about their origin story. And,
right.
And others are just pretty accepting that this is my situation and I'm good with it. And
right. That's what happened when I started writing the book. That's where it all changed, because very, very bad relationship with a man. We dated for 10 years, and he was a really controlling person. And I knew that I couldn't move on. I couldn't move ahead with my life. My life was changing. I was becoming more introspective. I was becoming more peaceful. But he wasn't serving me as a companion, as a good person. He was really bringing me down. He was kind of dragging me down a little bit. So that's when I discovered podcasting, and I could do other things in my life besides my mundane life that I was leading with him. We had definitely, you know, kind of the relationship had kind of come to an end, per se. We lived separate lives, really. And so I needed something to do. And that's when the podcast, Foxtails and Trivia, came about. And I will tell you, it came about because I personally, as well as probably a lot of people that listen to my podcast, wanted something that they could just do for 15, 20 minutes, kick their feet up and relax, sit, relax, listen, enjoy. That's like the whole crux of my podcast, was just for 15 minutes, get away from the news, from everything else that's going on in your life, and just talk about pop culture. Talk about things that are going on that are nice, that are good in life. And so that really helped me a lot. And that served me for that moment in life. And then the book came about, strangely enough, because my niece had mentioned my disability. And I realized that she found out about it through my sister, and I'd never even talk about it, so my nieces know more about my disability than I do.
So they were curious. They were curious, or they questioned you about your disability.
They didn't question me. They probably, Melissa, my sister, sat down with them one day and said, "This is what's going on with Stephanie," and they had that nice chat. But I've never had the opportunity to have a nice chat with them. But it was my niece who said something about my disability, and that is the impetus to write my book, was that one moment. And I said, you know, I should put my story into a book, and I should make it so that it doesn't offend my parents, who are definitely guilty, but it starts with a character that is, you know, pretty much normal. And then something happens to her, a cataclysmic situation, almost like an earthquake or something, right? And she has to fight her way back. But after the cataclysmic disaster, she doesn't have use of her right arm, and she has limited use to her right leg. So it's kind of using my disability as the theme, but her, at that point, going to make steps to get her life back to where she's happy, and, you know, using her imagination and using her inward powers and her, you know, her real strong will to have a life that is normal, you know, to have a life that is good for her, works for her.
So you've been able to tell your story through your, in a very real way, through the fictional story of, I believe the character's name is Gwendolyn. Is that right? In your book? Is that
right? Gwendolyn. And
who's the Southpaw, and, and it kind of looks at life from a little differently than maybe some others do, but and goes inward, yeah, her imagination in order to deal with life and deal with things. And that's
right.
Amazing.
Now, of course, there's a lot of similarity. You know, there are a lot of similarities because I feel that a writer is very, you know, personal because they've had a life and they've had things going on. And that, of course, is going to show through in their writing because it's what they know. It's very personal. So, and reading the book, there are a lot of similarities to what happened to me. I was sent to boarding school, and then I was sent to camp. And really, my mother really was so guilt-ridden that having me really go places and do things outside of the home made her feel guilty. You know, it's kind of like what you say when you say, you know, if we don't hear from you, it's a good thing. You know, we know everything's good. Kind of what happened. So a lot of the things in the book, a lot of the stories in the book are what happened to me when I was in boarding school. And I was actually bullied. They didn't call it bullying back then, but I was kind of bullied a lot in boarding school. And after 3 years, I went back to the public school system, and it was fine. But for that three-year period, it was a very, very hard thing for me. Sometimes people, I mention it in the book, sometimes people, and, you know, girls and boys young, you know, people, I'd say, you know, 16 or so, they make fun and bully people that have less of an advantage, that can't fight back. And they take advantage of that. So that is kind of what I want to mention, too. And so Gwendolyn has to face that too. She has to face the strength of, hey, you know, this is what's going on, and I'm not happy about it. And yet, I'm going to prove to myself and to everybody that I am going to be a success, that I am going to make it in this life, no matter what it takes. And so she starts to, yeah, so she starts to use her imagination, being creative and an artistic way, write and draw scenarios that she wants to have. And she is imagining all these things going on that are perfect in her world. And slowly she starts to see things get better. You know, things are better and better.
So she transformed her inner life was really transformative to her outer life or her things that happened.
That's
in her
right.
life.
And that's right.
It sounds like you, in your case, you took the bold action of deciding to process this by writing the book and some things along this line, and that has had some impact in your life. So that's a bold action that you took.
Yep.
What did you learn about yourself as you wrote the book? How was this taking this action? How was it informative to your transformation?
Well, it was transformative because I was finally able to say how I felt, you know, about life and about kind of holding back.
So you'd held back for a long, long time, and this was finally expressing yourself. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's so awesome. I was finally able to say, look, life isn't about how I look physically. You know, I could be, you know, funny and attractive and all these things, and it's not really about my arm. It's really about other things. I have so much more to offer than just that one thing.
Right,
and
right.
It took me really until I was about 50 to realize that. And, you know, it sounds crazy, but I was living with this kind of underlying kind of rough time. And I completely could have just let it go and, you know, lived a more, I don't know, what you call, you know, quote unquote normal life and a freeing life. But at 50, I chose to just move ahead and do my podcast. And I was what I like to call ushered away from that relationship that was so bad. You know, you find that when a person doesn't serve you and a person doesn't, and you don't need that person in your life, all of a sudden things work out and that person's moved from your life somehow. So that was a rough situation, but all of a sudden this relationship I had for 10 years, all of a sudden didn't happen anymore. It was just all of a sudden the pathway was clear.
Well, you had a new path. Yeah, a new path. You took some action. You took bold action. You started to write a book. You started doing a podcast. Start processing things, and you had the change in your relationship. All this happened, and it's because you decided to deal with your inner life. And so that's a great thing. So in that context of dealing with your inner life, I'm just wondering if in this process, have you learned any kind of, have you been informed or powered by any kind of understanding of a power greater than yourself or some spiritual realm, for instance, coming from meditation or anything along this line?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit of how that has power, given you some strength.
Well, that is actually what started the separation mentally with my ex, is that I was becoming more spiritual at that point. I was, you know, doing my podcast, which was, you know, new to him. And then I started to really get into that inner state of mind where I was very reflective about my life. And I all of a sudden became this person that was wonderful. I felt so freed because I was writing this book, but I also felt like I didn't hate people as much. Like it's the relationship I had, the whole crux of the relationship was I hate everybody. You know, that was my ex's view on life. And so that was like really my view. And then all of a sudden I had this podcast going on and I had, you know, writing the book. And all of a sudden, someone said to me, people are good. You know, they're not evil people. You know, there are good people in this world. So I started to have a different attitude towards people. And I started to feel love and acceptance. And that it's, you know, if you want to have negative people in your life, it's because you think negative thoughts. Right, if you want positive people, you know, a positive situation. And so I began to study that and really reflect on that. And I did meditation, and I certainly am a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. My mom grew up a Christian Scientist, which I kind of didn't really want to be. I don't really adhere to that. And so it was my mom who was a very metaphysical person. And she has often said it's because that I was, you know, so sick that she had turned to metaphysics just to, you know, to get quiet and peaceful within herself.
Becca, Stephanie, I just want to ask you, you've been talking about your spiritual connections and about meditation practice and things like that, but you also mentioned about how, you know, you had that your meditative and your spiritual practices also changed your view of your relationships, meaning you saw people as being basically better or good compared to more of a negative viewpoint. Tell me a little bit about emotional connections with people of a positive nature. How does that fuel you? How does that connection with other people or emotions like love or care or generosity, how does that come into play here in terms of fueling your transformation?
Well, I became a podcaster, and I started writing my book, and then I was studying metaphysics, and my mom's totally into metaphysics. She left Christian Science, totally into metaphysics, which is something great. And all of a sudden, I started to see my world differently. I started to meditate and started to look at the world differently. I started to appreciate the outside world, people that were in the outside world, my attitude changed. It changed to an attitude of love, acceptance, and looking at people as just like myself, wanting to learn more and live on Earth as very peaceful and have wonderful exchanges, and that they can, you know, give me certain gifts of, you know, love, and then I give that back. So it's a very positive experience, and it really changed with my attitude of life. My attitude definitely got better and better and better, and then the relationships got better. they got more positive. And so now, even when I'm like driving down the road, instead of like, you know, when someone cuts me off or something like that, I say, oh, they must be, you know, having a bad day. You know, I try, my whole thing is that, look, you know, you understand more about people and about maybe, you know, they're just, you know, having a day, you know. And, you know, I've certainly had bad days. That's good. I'm not as hateful, I guess is what you call it. I love what I'm doing. And, you know, there's not a lot of people that are not encouraging, you know, there's people that really want to see me succeed, and I want to see people succeed. And the whole thing is attitude. My attitude changed. And when your attitude changes to something good, you are surrounded by good people.
Yeah, you start to attract a different sort of folks. Yeah.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And, you know, you can't be positive and attract negative people. It's just impossible. You know, if you're positive people come into your life, you know, and that is precisely why, going back to past relationships, that is exactly why people that didn't, I don't like to use the word serve, but didn't exactly mesh with me anymore, just dropped away. And, you know, I stopped, for example, we used to go to the restaurant and, you know, have a couple of drinks, stop that. People don't, you know, people weren't helping me there. And people weren't as accepting there. And so that kind of is something I've learned throughout the whole process. And I've...
I was going to say, has anybody been kind of a mentor to you in this process? Or any resources that you've used for helping you with your meditation?
Yes, I have a mentor. I have a couple of mentors. I absolutely love Bob Proctor, who is a mentor. He was on The Secret, and that was kind of my first introduction to spirituality and kind of thinking really on my own and forming opinions and thinking about prosperity and about abundance and about love and acceptance and all these wonderful things that you have to have in your life, and you have to give people that, and in response, that's what you'll get back. Right. Instead of just, I want. I can't live like that. So that's looking at, in my opinion, the wrong way.
Sure.
You should be so happy to give and to be interested and to really understand people and want to know more about people. And in response, they will love you and want to be around you.
When you live a life of generosity, you
yeah.
receive the abundance and have more of a fulfilled lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Where you're looking, instead of
Absolutely.
Looking at the meaninglessness of life, you begin to look at the meaningfulness of life, and that makes all the difference.
It's a wonderful thing to see that, you know, I believe that, you know, that there is a similarity in everybody, right? I mean, everybody's here on Earth trying to do their best, trying to, you know, have the best. But what some people don't understand is that you really need to give. You have to give them your love and your attention and everything, and then you receive it back. So it's positive.
Yeah, Stephanie, what are some of the specific ways that you do that now? What are you know, you mentioned how this, you've basically made this transformation from kind of a negative approach to more of a positive approach, and how there were some, you know, mm-hmm. really important moments there. Some, you know, your niece said some things to you, some other things have said some things to you, which are really pivotal. But I'm interested now in the application of it in your life right now. What are some of the disciplines or habits or rituals or routines, or what are some of the things you do now that maybe you didn't do before that help you live out this new lifestyle that you have, this new promised life, as I like to call it?
I started with meditation, and that was kind of the beginning. And then I really started having this mentorship with certain people in my life that really impacted my life and really made me understand that, you know, you really need to give certain things to get back certain things. I write a gratitude list every morning. I certainly, you know, pray and meditate and really understand that whole process, that you really need to be very focused and concentrate on giving to people. And that's really the crux of it. I do read a lot of metaphysical books and New Thought books. And I really believe that when you do and take the time, you will benefit and everybody in your world benefits. I do a lot of metaphysical reading. I do, like I said, the gratitude list. Yeah. And I am always reminded, you know, the source, where everybody comes from, one source. And that is, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, life, and including me and the, you know, everybody try to figure out how they can have the best life and what really life on earth is all about. I mean,
everybody's trying to figure out what it's all about and how, what it mean, bring right. meaningfulness to your life.
Right. And what's the meaning of life, right? What is, why are we as, you know, human beings and in our bodies, what are we trying to, what is the meaning of all that? And there is so much, you know, so many people trying to figure out, you know, what, you know, the universe is, what God, what, you know, whatever you, you know, call that big thing that happens, people are trying to find that out. And they are so curious about, you know, what that, you can call it, right, you can call it God, or you can call it universal, you know, intelligence, that kind of thing. Everybody has, people that don't like the word God, they use universal intelligence. It's really all the same thing. Talk to a scientist in physics, and they'll say, you know, energy is. And then you talk to a theologian, and they say God is. But it's the same thought process. You know, it's looking for, it's looking within. Yeah. To find,
yeah, the way I like to look at it, it's connecting with a power high, bigger than yourself to transform your inner life, and then it's manifested in how you live your life now and giving your life a sense of purpose and meaningfulness. And so I guess out of this whole process, and Stephanie, I would just ask you, just what do you see right now as your purpose in life? How has this changed you, and what do you see as your purpose in life right now?
I see my purpose in life is to be abundant and to live a very, very happy and content life, and to really to help others that have similar situations they need help with, or they need someone to guide them and to help them, and understanding, and that's the big thing, understanding where everybody comes from and how I can help them by being there, being a nice person, being a compassionate person. There are so many people that need that. So many people that are angry, like I was for such a long time. And there are so many people that need the, you know, the love and the encouragement. And I'm so happy that I've discovered that. And it's a very, very peaceful life when you actually discover the best that, you know, there, you know, there's a level where you grow and you grow and you grow. It's nice to see myself, you know, understanding and becoming, you know, growing and growing and understanding. And it's so wonderful. And it's wonderful to see that it's anger does not benefit anybody. Right. You know, it's going to really, it's going to stop you from moving ahead. And that is the biggest thing that I learned from, you know, my past relationship, is that you can't be angry and have anything you want in life work out for you. I mean, you know, that's just the thing. And so I've had to take a step back and look at, you know, my parents too. I was, I was a little angry at them for, you know, doing certain things, for not having me go through physical therapy. They kind of dropped the ball a little bit because of the guilt. But I've gotten to the point where it's just, you can't blame them. They just did the best they could, right? The best they knew how. So I have to kind of take a bull by the horns and say, this is my life. I'm in control now. I'm going to take my life and try to be best. I'm going to try to do the best.
And you got that experience you've had out of your writing and your podcasting to offer other people. And so I'd also ask you, another question I like to ask folks as well, Stephanie, is out of this whole process, you've had to kind of look at your value system a little differently, I believe. And so I would just ask you, at this point in your life, how would you define prosperity?
Well, prosperity is like defining what rich is. You know, prosperity is different for everybody. It doesn't, it certainly can mean.
So I'm asking for you, what does it mean for you right now?
Prosperity is prosperity in everything. It's prosperity, or it's being rich or prosperous in money, but it's also being rich and prosperous in your relationships, in your abundance, in your love of life, in your, you know, everything. So, you know, I have a book that I just love. It's, you know, the science of getting rich. It's that kind of thing. It's not only about monetary. It absolutely means getting rich in life and all the abundance that you can have in life. And I think that that is really important. But I also think that, I mean, I don't want to ignore this, but I think that getting rich financially, you can help other people as well, other less fortunate people, by, you know, giving to causes and stuff like that too. So there's two sides of it. You know, there's the inner side that says abundance is living a life of being, you know, having a large sum of, you know, your whole life. But it's also the thing about the money and being able to give more, you know, being able to give more to certain organizations and certain people that really need that too. So, and being, you know, when you have, but when you have monetary freedom, it's certainly obviously better than being, you know, poor, and that poorness is definitely reflected in your negative attitude.
Sure.
You know, and so having the abundance of money means that you can give more to people and that you are a better person. So I would say it's a really transformative, you know, life. And if you see yourself as being abundant and being rich, then you'll see it in all ways.
Yeah. Well, when you have a life that's more fulfilled, then you see things from a more that there's no lack in the world. It's not a scarcity issue. It is what is, you know, the abundance that's available to you. And it's certainly really interesting and fascinating. Your story, both in your writing, your podcasting, your speaking, has been one of transformation, where you've moved from kind of lack and negative and anger and all kinds of other things to now fulfillment and some joy and some energy and the prosperous life of one who's generous and receiving generosity and the full life. And that's awesome. So it seems like you found some good things here that you're sharing with other people in many ways. And so tell us a little bit, Stephanie, what you're working on now. I know you have a new book coming out and some other projects you're working on. What are you working on now, and how can folks be in contact with you if they want to learn more about what you're up to?
Well, the book that I have now, Southpaw, A Tale About a Girl's Imagination, I started out writing it just as a book. And then I realized it was a little short, and I realized it could be a prequel, a backstory of who Gwendolyn was. And now I'm working on the actual story of her helping the people, helping friends and people, maybe people she doesn't know, with their situations, and helping them where she needed help, helping them with their problems or their situation, helping them find a more peaceful life. So that is the story of, you know, Gwendolyn, and that's going to be the next chapter here in this Southpaw series, as I like to call it. Right. And so that will be a bigger book. This one is a little small, but it's just the prequel, just the backstory. And Gwendolyn will move ahead and help people with the same situation where she needed help. She now knows how to help other people. She now understands something that she didn't understand before,
right.
And that is helping other people. And that's kind of like what I've gone through, honestly.
Sure, sure.
You know, so.
And
so,
if people want to, and that'll be available on Amazon and at those type of places. And if
yes.
you, and if.
Yes, it's going to be available on Lulu.com is my publisher, so it's available on that discounted rate, but it'll be available ebook and print on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble online, ebook edition, and I'm so excited about it because
and the book is the book is the second edition or next volume, as it were, I guess, of Southpaw, A Tale of a Girl's Imagination, and so
A Tale About a Girl's Imagination, and it's just so exciting for me to, you know, when you're excited about something and you're excited about something, and all of a sudden, you know, you get to the end and you're like, oh my gosh, do I really want to, you know, leave this anticipation and move to the next level? So I'm like a little bit sad about it, you know, about the production coming to an end.
Yeah,
but then I'm thinking, okay, now I have this next book I'm working on.
Sure.
So it's kind of exciting.
Well, that'll be great. And it's been a...
It helps.
Yeah. Well, you've got a fascinating story to tell, Stephanie, and you got a lot going on here, and you certainly been a delight to talk to you today here on the Pathway to Promise.
Well, thank you.
We look to hearing more good things from you as you continue to contribute to the greater good, and you have now made a commitment. It sounds like to be helpful to people who are going through similar situations as you, and be helpful to people, and on a spiritual level, and on a level of overcoming anger and adversity, things like that, to have more of a positive and productive life. And I just want to thank you for being our guest today on the Pathway to Promise. Stephanie Lee, the author of Southpaw, A Tale About a Girl's Imagination. She is our guest. She has been our guest today here on Pathway to Promise. And I know that you got a lot out of our conversation about how she overcame some really difficult circumstances in her life, and how that she chose to do it by going in her inner life, going into her life of meditation and thinking and prayer and processing and reading and dealing with mentors in order to deal with the issues at hand that she had in her life in order to come out to a better place. Let's just talk about a few takeaway points here. Stephanie mentioned that she was a thalidomide baby, which meant that her mother, her parents, were responsible for taking drugs, which led directly to her disability, her stroke, which caused her to lose the purposes, lose the function of her right side of her body pretty much for her whole life. But there was what she describes as the pink elephant in the room all through her life growing up with her parents, that it was hardly ever discussed. There was guilt, and there was blame, and there was shame all over the place, especially on the part of her parents, and that's something that Stephanie had to live under. And it was never really dealt with in a very upfront way during her growing up years. And it really took when her niece came to her as an adult and came to her and asked her what the story was about her disability. And that is among the many things that caused her to begin to process things. And when she began to process things, she was understanding that she had to go in her inner life in order to change her every part of her life. And that meant she had to find a place for all the guilt and the shame and the blame and all that kind of stuff under dealing with her parents. She had to find an appropriate place for that and to come out in a better place. She started to process things, her inner life, by starting a podcast called the Talk, Tales and Trivia Podcast, and then writing her book called Southpaw, a tale about a girl's imagination, about how she used her thinking in her life in order to come out to a better place. And that's also how she began to process the value of the relationships in her life, and how she had some negative and poor relationships, including romantic relationship, in which she chose to move on from. And but she began to develop new relationships, mentoring relationships began to help to give help her find fulfillment in her life. The key part here, what I want to get you from what Stephanie shared that I think you can do in your life, is to focus on good things in your life over the troubles. That you do, we always have lots of troubles. We always have lots of things. We all have, you know, she had her disability, which she was born with. We have other things that we are put upon us. The other things, the stupid things that we own, that we do ourselves. And we can blame others if we want, or we can let ourselves be dissolved in guilt, or we can be 100% responsible for our lives. And it starts with our inner life. And she began to tell her story about how she was bullied and how she had to deal with all these different things. But she was determined to be a success, to prove herself to others and that she would be a success. Hear that point as well. Her determination came from an inner place. And her spiritual life is what gave her a state of mind to move through tough relationships and to overcome adversity and to have what we like to call here on the Pathway to Promise, her promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. So she ended up with better relationships, and an attitude changed, and her world changed, and she began to have more positive things happen in her life. And the people who didn't mesh with her life began to drop away. And the practices that she used were things like meditation and mentorship. She developed a gratitude list and to concentrate on giving to others, reading things of a metaphysical nature, understanding we all come from one source and abundance. There's abundance all around our world. And I could think you could see that from our conversation with Stephanie that she had, you know, just a lot of great changes in her life that we can learn from. But it's the decision she took to be 100% responsible for her life, to deal with any issues of guilt or blame or shame or anything like that, and be responsible. So that's my encouragement to you. Here in the Pathway to Promise podcast, my name is Dr. Brad Miller. I'm here to be an encouragement to you. I've spent a lot of time in Christian ministry and read a lot about matters such as metaphysics and spiritual life and how to overcome adversity, depression, divorce, diseases in your life, how those all impact us, and how we can overcome those when we set our eyes towards that which is good and healthy and good things in our life. We can do that. We can do that. I can be helpful, and others can be too. If you go over to our website, pathwaypromise.com, you'll find lots of episodes with lots of experts in all kinds of fields, health-related fields, financial planning, overcoming depression, overcoming job loss, things like this. All kinds of things you can find that people have overcome to come out to a better place, a place of peace and prosperity and purpose. We can be helpful. Go there to pathwaypromise.com and listen to those episodes. The first 5 episodes is where I lay out my 40-day way process to help you achieve this in a short amount of time. You can also pick up my booklet called The 4-Minute Way to Frame Your Day. It's essentially the first chapter of my book called The 40-Day Way to Living Your Life of Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. And that'll give you a guide to begin and end your day in a positive way in order to be successful, to frame your day for success. We're here to be helpful, and we hope that you'll tune into us each week here on the Pathway to Promise, where we're here to serve you. And if you want to be helpful to us, please just go over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast and rate us. 5-star or better would be great. Or I guess you can't give it 5 stars, can you? But a 5-star would be great. And a review of a couple lines would even be even more helpful. But also, please share with us and share with others in your network, people about the Pathway to Promise podcast, because I know that you know people for whom these words can be helpful. We're here for you. We're here to help you find your pathway to your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. So until next time when we meet again, this is Dr. Brad Miller encouraging you to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.